Hallelujah. Father, your name is worthy to be praised. Your name is worthy to be exalted. We honor your name. We exalt your character. We bless you, Almighty God, for everything you've already done and will continue to do. The prayers that you're going to answer, the miracles that you're going to perform, the deliverances you're going to provide. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We come praying for each other, calling out our brother, our sister's name, and laying their name before your altar and their circumstance. Whatever the circumstance is, Father, we pray that you work it out. Whatever the drama, whatever the uncertainty, whatever is weighing down my brother, my sister's life, Father, we ask you to work a miracle, give them deliverance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We pray now you would meet every need of your sons and daughters. You know what we stand in the need of. We pray and ask you to work it out in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. And we pray that you would build a fence around us. Build a shield around us, Almighty God. Father, cancel out every assignment of the enemy. Rebuke the devil's plots and schemes. Save somebody that needs to be saved today. Reclaim a backslider. Give assurance to a person that has doubts or questions. Plant believers, God. Let your perfect will be done. When it's all said and done, God, even before it's said and done, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, while you're standing, before you sit down, or open your Bibles to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And I'm going to read these five verses. Beginning at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments about God's purposes and assignments for children. You can be seated. I want to just start by saluting our children and our youth. I think they're doing an incredible job. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of our youth ministry. I'm proud of our children's ministry. I want to thank Reverend Queen. Stand up, Reverend Queen, who's our youth pastor. Our children's minister, our children's pastor is Pat Singleton. Stand up, Reverend Pat. The director of our children and youth department is Reverend William S. Berkeley. Amen. And all of those people who work with them, I'm celebrating them for what they invest in children. And what I want to talk about is children. But before I get to it, I got to talk about these first two verses of Psalm 127. I need you to listen carefully because it starts off by saying something very important. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You could have the prettiest house. You could decorate it with the finest furniture. You could have nice beds and sofas and chairs and chaises and tables and dining room tables and all of that. Drapes. My wife taught me the difference between curtains and drapes. I was sitting in the dining room with her one day after I bought her some curtains. She wanted me to come in there and just look at them. Some of y'all have heard me talk about this before, but I bought her some curtains for the living room, and she was in there looking at them. She wanted me to come in and look at them with her. But you know, I'm an important person. I have a lot of stuff going on. I don't have time to sit around and just look at curtains. So I blew her off. And God rebuked me, took me to 1 Peter 3:7, said, if I want my prayers answered, I better enter into her world. So I bought her some curtains for the dining room, and when she was sitting in there by herself, she didn't have the nerve to ask me because I blew off. She was just sitting in there on my own because I'm a spiritual person. Went in there and just sat down and looked at the curtains with her without her asking me. Go ahead, Pastor. Come on, celebrate. We weren't saying nothing. We were just looking at the curtains. I broke the silence, and I said, those are the prettiest curtains I ever seen in my life. Then I said, and look at how they hang.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And this is when I learned what they were. She said, they're not curtains, they're drapes. It was then that I learned that there's a difference between curtains and drapes. But whether you got curtains or drapes, the finest china, nice sofa, bedrooms all lined up, if God ain't in it, it's an empty house. And the problem is we have a lot of houses that have a lot of furniture, but God ain't in it. Anger, frustration, torment, arguments, fights. People living in the house, not speaking to each other. Husbands and wives sleeping in separate beds and bedrooms. There's no love there. Unless the Lord is in it, it's in vain. And that's what this text says. I'm just talking about the Bible right here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If God ain't in it. And then it says not only about the house, it says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, you can have the best security system. You can have two or three locks on every door, bolts. You can have police officers sitting outside your house. If God doesn't guard the city, if God is not the one there to protect it, the watchman is watching in vain. I'm right there. It's right here. Lest the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So I want God in my house. I want God to guard my city. I got to ask the question, why are our houses falling apart? Why we can't communicate? Why is there so much drama in our homes? Because God ain't in it. And how come the violence in our communities have been the violence that it is? It's because the Lord is not guarding the city. And then it says this. Here's another thing that's a problem. He said, it's vain to rise up early and to sit up at night, late at night. You getting up early, staying up late because you're eating the bread of sorrow, because your life is in torment and frustration. You can't go to sleep. If the Lord Jesus is not in your life, if he's not, here's what I discovered. Since I got Jesus in my life, he cares about my life, I've learned that he got my back. And I learned, and I know, that he never sleeps nor slumbers. So if he never sleeps nor slumbers, ain't no need of me staying awake worried about whatever my issue is. I'm going to bed. And some way, somehow, between the time I go to bed at night and by the time I get up in the morning, the Lord we serve is more than capable of working it out. But the question is, though, why would God not work it out? Why is it that our homes are not, our houses are not homes? Why is it there's no peace, no love, no joy? Why is it that the violence is rising up in our communities like it is? It's because of our rejection of children. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all this. I told the first two services, this is going to be a tough message. This is going to be tight. But let me tell you right off the bat, I'm not here because I want you to like me. I just want to tell you, okay? I'm not trying to be your friend. I is your pastor. And it's my role and responsibility. Thank you very much, whoever that is. Appreciate it. It's my role and responsibility to tell you truth. And the problem is we have rejected children. Psalm says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. The problem is we have not viewed children as a reward. They're a pain. They stress us out. They struggle us out. So we don't want them, and when we do have them, we want as few as possible.
Wow. Come on, sir.
I'm just letting that sink in on y'all for just a moment.
You want it.
Yeah. The text says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Somebody say, heritage from the Lord. That means that God gives us children to be a blessing. They are a blessing. Most families in America have 1.2 children. I don't know how you get a 0.2 child, but that's what it is. We haven't even replaced ourselves, let alone multiply. I recognize there's some women that can't have children. They're married. I understand that. Ain't talking about you. This ain't you. This is the ones who can't have children and have chosen not to have children. Hold on, let me say, this is for the married people who are supposed to have children. That's the heart of God. And that's my assignment, is to try to tell you that God has stopped guarding our cities and stopped building our homes because we're not making it a place for children. We are building homes for our own selfish pleasure. Did y'all notice how the claps are getting lower and lower and lower? Did y'all see that? Y'all notice that? Yeah, that's the problem. It's the problem with the heart of God. And here's what, in essence, God is saying. Why should I build your homes and guard your cities if you're not going to raise children? Is the attention in the room yet? If it ain't there, it's going to show enough come in a few more minutes, because I'm about to talk about some things that y'all going to have difficulties with. I already know it. But here's the deal. That children are a heritage from God and a reward. When a woman gets pregnant, it's not an easy thing. A lot of stuff has to happen. There's a lot of things that have to. The eggs got to be in the right place. The sperm got to be alive. Plus, once the two meet, it's got to embed in the womb at the right place at the right time. It's so much has to happen. And God is saying, for all that to happen, He says, when I make that happen, God says, I'm giving you a reward. Now, I know that I was talking to one of our members recently, a couple, married couple, and one person wanted to have children, the other one didn't, and the one person said, we ain't ready. I'm not ready, or my spouse ain't ready. Now, I've been married to my wife 39 years, we done had 6 kids. I ain't never felt ready for any of the children that came. Never. I never was ready. Never felt economically ready, never felt spiritually ready, never felt emotionally ready. Never felt mentally ready. I ain't never felt ready. But when God allows you to get pregnant, He says, you're ready. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching. But today I'm trying to bless you by telling you what God's perspective is on how we handle children. And the problem is we have rejected children. We pawn them off, push them off. We don't want to take care of them. We push them off to the schools and give them the daycare. We don't want to spend the time with them. They're a burden. We got stuff to do. We bring in babysitters. Everybody else spend more time with our kids than us. Then you want to know why they acting crazy. Y'all.
Can you handle the truth?
The Bible says they are fruit. The fruit of the womb is a reward from God. It is His reward. It comes from Him. He blesses us. It is a reward from God. And the bottom line, I know some women can't have children. If you can't have children, this message ain't for you. I ain't talking to you. Just read a book. Do something else. This is, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm talking about the people who have the capacity. And we've pushed them to the side. And God has want us to know that children are not an accident. You are not an accident of your mom and your dad. Matter of fact, the scripture says God knew about you before the foundations of the world. Before the world was created, God already knew your name. Psalm 139. He already knew every part of your body. He already knew about it. And He wants us to have the same heart and the same mentality that He know. He wants us to have that attitude. The problem is we are rejecting our children. Now, the big debate on the news this week has to do about Alabama passing this abortion, restrictive abortion. And I listened to the arguments back and forth on the news about the children and a woman's body and boom, boom, boom. Let me just tell y'all, let me be clear with you all. Let's be clear. This ain't new. This is my belief, conviction, the clear teaching of the Bible. Let me say something What did I hear one person say? That a man can't tell me what to do with my body. It's not a man that's telling you. It's God that's telling you. What does God say about it? Yeah, it's God. It's God's law, not man's law. It's God's command. And we rejected children. A long portion of the history of our country, we aborted 1 million babies a year. 1 million babies. We said we don't want them. Matter of fact, when a doctor performs an abortion, he has to kill the baby. It's not a growth. It's a human being. Now, somebody said, what about incest? What about rape? Let's be clear. The statistics on the number of abortions that are done because of rape or incest is minuscule. It's small. Most of the abortions in this country are done as a form of birth control. You, hold up. You should practice birth control before you get into bed with that joker. I told y'all weren't going to like this message today. I'm trying to give you truth. That God is saying, there's no need of me building your homes and protecting your cities if you're not going to have a heart for children. That's what God is saying. Now, I love kids. I ain't never had one, but I love kids. My wife had the kids. I saw her go through the pain and the agony of bringing birth a child. And every time it made me thankful that God made me a man. Do I have any brothers up in this moment here today? Praise Him. I can't handle it. I can't take it. I knew she was in pain. We was coming down, going down to Howard University Hospital, driving down 50. I was going 100 miles an hour, our first child. She leaned over to me. She said, go faster. You're not going faster. And we made that right on Florida Avenue to come up there, and it was traffic. And my wife said to me, turn down this road right here. She ain't know where she was. And I just did what she said. I turned down the road. And we were in the back of the hospital, but we couldn't get to the hospital because there was a fence there. She got out the car to climb the fence to get to the hospital. I said, that's some pain right there. I don't want that pain. That was some pain. I'm taking my hat off to the women who have endured the pain and gave birth to their children. Y'all get the prize. Y'all win. But the heart of God is for us to have children so that those children can have an impact on the kingdom of God as they grow up. Matter of fact, here's what I believe. I believe that everything that God does for you in your life, parents, is not for you, it's for your children. Yeah, I came to grips with the fact that every door he opened for me, every job he gave me, every miracle he's worked on my behalf was for my kids. Yeah, God wants your kids to see his hand moving and working. Marilyn Lacey right here, she she got a couple weeks ago, she was one of the mothers that got a car, right? Even before I could finish telling her she got the car, she jumped up and started running around the building. She just started running around the building. And here's what she said when she came back. This is what blessed me. She said, I want my kids to see that God does answer prayer. She didn't have a car. And she taught her children, watch God make a way for us. And when she got that car that she didn't know she was going to get, she could tell her children, look at what our God did. Woo. And that's why God does whatever he does for you. Listen to me. Listen. I get this complaint all the time. My children don't want to follow God. They don't believe in God. That's what I hear a lot of complaints from mothers. Here's what I want to say to parents. Here's what I want to say to you. Teach your children what your burdens are with God. Let them hear you pray to God about those things, and then make sure you tell them when God answers the specific prayer that you pray. Do you not know when you make your needs known to your children, and then they see you talking to God, and then they see God answer it, there's no way they can say that there is not a God. Let them see you depend on our living, resurrected Savior. He will make a way for them. Now, let me tell you what God's purpose is. I'm just rambling on here. Let me tell you what God's purposes are. Right here, verse number 4. Here's the first thing, God's purpose for children. It's my third point here. But here's my first sub-point about why God gave us children. Number one, children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Verse 4. Like arrows. Arrows are a weapon. And God, when a soldier, a warrior is going into war, he has these arrows in his hand. And God says, your children are going to be like arrows. And here's what God is saying. I want you to raise them up because they're going to be like an arrow, a pinpoint arrow, to address the very lies and stress challenges that the enemy brings into your life. God says, I'm going to raise up your seed so it can address and put to shame and the quiet and shut up the lies that the devil told you and the defeat he's trying to work through your kids. Can I get an amen right there from anybody? He says, children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And then God says, I want to make your children like arrows. Matter of fact, the latter part of this verse says that verse 5, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Yeah. A quiver, in my research, is 5 arrows. I got me a quiver plus one in my arrangement. God wants us to want children. Love children, embrace children. That's what he wants. He wants us to love and embrace them. So that's number one. Here's number two. He said, verse 5, his purpose is for children will not be ashamed. They, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. His children shall not be, or her children, his or her children shall not be ashamed to say that they are children of the Most High God, that they belong to Jesus, that they put their trust in him, that they're following him, that they are committed to him. We live in a culture today where people are ashamed to say that they're Christians. Ashamed to say what they believe in, what they stand for. Because I see y'all adults. I know how y'all go to lunch with your coworkers and don't say grace over your food. You better say something over that food before you eat. You better have enough boldness to say, let's pray over this before we eat it. Yeah, that's what you better do. Don't be ashamed. And that, matter of fact, that's what our youth ministry is called, The Unashamed, the youth. We're raising up a generation of young people who are not ashamed to say, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He forgave me of my sins. He washed my slate clean. I'm proud of the young people in this church who are being raised up to be proud Christians and believers and committed to the cause of the Lord Jesus. I'm proud of them. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud of my children. Don't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed. We're raising up our children not to be ashamed of the God that they serve. I'm almost finished. I'm coming to a close. Oh, yeah, this is the 12 o'clock service, ain't it? Then he says this. Now, I've preached from this passage many times over the years. But the thing that's amazing about the scripture, sometimes God will show you something that you ain't seen, you done read it 100 times. And he showed me one little word that made all the difference in the world that I had missed it all these years, but I just saw it. The Lord opened my eyes to it. In verse 5, he says that these arrows that they're talking about, these children shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Y'all see that right there? Verse 5? But shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Let me talk about the gate for a minute. The gate is a place of power. In the Bible days, the gate was where decisions were made. The gate was where wisdom hung out. The gate was where the politicians hung out. The gate was where the political people and the brokers of society hung out. And dialogue and discussion and wrestling took place at the gate. And this text says they won't speak with the enemy at the gate. Now, I got blessed because I always talked about the way I used to preach this message. I said that God's raising up children that are going to be at the gate. They're going to be at the place to be able to speak to the enemies at the gate. And that's true and fine, but it's a little bit deeper than that. Because what the scripture actually says is that they will speak with their enemies in the gate. Well, there's a difference between at the gate and in the gate. See, when you're at the gate, you're watching everybody else have discussions. But when you in the gate, it means you are in the position of a power. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. God's going to raise them up to be presidents and governors and senators and representatives and business owners and influencers. And I'm saying to the young people today, stand, you're going to rise up and God's going to anoint you and you're going to be mighty men and women of God. You're going to be the mouthpiece that speaks and rebukes the enemy and you're going to be in the gate. Hallelujah. That's what your assignment is. God is bringing you up. He's raising you up to accomplish and be things and do things that you never dreamed or imagined. You're going to be holding offices that you're not qualified for. God's going to open up opportunities and work miracles and put you in places. And you're going to say, how did I get here? I don't have the education. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have what they say I'm supposed to have. But my job is to tell you, God's going to put you in the gate. No, you don't deserve to be there. No, you're not qualified. But your God that you serve will open up a door that nobody can close. Hallelujah. They're going to speak and put the enemy, shut the enemy's mouth up. Where are the young people at? Where are the young people? Stand up. Young people, where you at? I want the young people to stand up.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall go up and not down. We cancel out every plot and scheme that the enemy has aimed against your lives. God's going to cut off relationships and friendships that you should not have. And God's going to raise up godly influences in your life. You're going to be in the game. Get ready to get in the game. Get ready to speak truth in the game. Get ready to proclaim truth in the game. Get ready to proclaim Jesus in the game. I want y'all to reach up and touch a young person next to you. Y'all just touch them. Go ahead, pray for them. Lay your hands on them. Tell them, prophesy to them. Tell them, you're going to be in the game. You're going to win and not lose. You're going to be victorious. You're going to achieve dreams. You're going to achieve things in your life beyond your dreams, beyond what you hoped. You're going to do well in school. You're going to pass and succeed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I cancel out the spirit of drug addiction and immorality and unrighteous friends. Rise up. Be boys, from boys to men. From girls to women of God. You will be up and not down. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Now, I only have a handful of adults in the choir. So I want you young people in the choir to come down here so I can lay my hands on y'all. Y'all come on down here right now. In the choir. Come on. Y'all direct them down here. Amen. That's right. Bring them down here. Come down the steps. Come down these steps. Yeah, y'all gonna be great, mighty, warriors, kingdom builders. Jesus' name. Oh, yes. You're going to be great and mighty warriors in the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus loves you. He has a destiny for you, a purpose for you, an assignment for you. It doesn't matter what your household is like. Doesn't matter how your parents have treated you. Doesn't matter what your friends said about you. You are children of the Most High God. And He has a purpose and an assignment and a destiny and a call and an anointing on your life. In Jesus' name. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you shall achieve it. You shall accomplish it. School ain't too hard. You can do it. God will help you. He will empower you. He will cause you to remember. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're going to win. You're going to win. I love you. Jesus loves you. He has a destiny for you. Every last one of you. Every last one of you have a purpose. Every last one of you have an assignment. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Ain't nobody mad about it but the devil. He thought he could defeat you. But he can't have you. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You belong to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Be blessed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I place an anointing upon you. I lay my hands on you. That there is a transference of power upon you. That there's a transfer, that just like God called me at 15, He'll call you before your time. He'll call you before they said you'd be ready. And you will be great warriors for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the young people. Hallelujah. For the children. Hallelujah. the Most High God. I love you. I love you. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus loves you. Give the Lord a shout for these young people. Amen. Now, some of you have sucked into the beliefs of the world and you have aborted babies. God is a God that will forgive you. When the world tells you to abort the baby, they don't tell you about the shame and guilt that accompanies it for years. We have a ministry, Beauty for Ashes, that's designed to help those who have gone through the horrible tragedy of aborting a life. And you should look that up. If you're having problems, challenges, you want to overcome that, get connected with our Beauty for Ashes. Somebody say amen. Thank God we have a ministry for it. All right, I want to open up the doors, give an invitation to somebody that needs Jesus in their life. They need forgiveness of sin. Somebody who needs to rededicate themselves to the Lord Jesus. Somebody who's not sure about their destiny. Or somebody who's already saved but you want to join the church. This is a good church. Look at your neighbor and say, this here is a good church. This is a good church. Matter of fact, ask them, are you saved? Are you backslidden? Do you need to rededicate? Are you sure of your destiny? Do you have a church home? Go ahead and witness to the person. I don't care whether you know them or not. Talk to them. Go ahead. Ask them. Do you need to get right with God? Do you need to rededicate? Do you need to get saved? Do you need to get born again? Do you need to join the church? Right now is the time for you to get out of your seat and make your way here right now, right this moment, right this instant. Come right now. Come right this. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Hallelujah. We're going to shout. We're going to give God the glory. Give God the praise. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on. Right now. Right this moment. Don't put it on. Right this moment. Right this moment. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give the Lord a shout for these souls. I'm going to pray for you. The person behind you is a counselor who's going to take you in the back and minister to you. Okay? So proud of you. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you. Father, I thank you for each one of these that is here at this altar today. I know you know them each by name. I know, Lord, you spared their lives for such a time as this. Fill them with your power. Forgive them of their sins. Manifest yourself to them is my prayer, Almighty God. I'm praying in Jesus' name that they would have a heart of repentance and faith, and that you would fill them with the power of your might in Jesus' name. Amen.